be till I die. You may be seated. And the young people can be excused. Are they going to their classes? Now, you folks pray for the adults that go with them, okay? That they're able to return at the end of the class. Sometimes it takes courage to go out with these kids. More courage than to stay here and nap. Okay. Now, we're glad to have a few young folks in the church and to be able to minister to them. That's the future of the church. So if you see any spare young folks around, bring them with you, okay? Very good. This is Father's Day. But this is also a time when we need to think about manhood, because it takes a man to be a father. And I want to start off with a verse that's very familiar to most of you. The verse is John 3:3. That was Jesus dealing with Nicodemus, who had come by night because he was ashamed to be seen coming to Jesus at all. And Jesus answered him, "Verily, verily, or truly, truly, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." Now that statement is very plain. If a man is not born again, he is not going to see heaven. Now, like I said, this is Father's Day, and we honor the fathers. It can be a day when we think about men in general and the role that God gave each one of us. Being a man may be considered a biological thing, but there's much more to it than that. God intended for a man to have certain characteristics. They are necessary in order for a man to be a man. And this morning we want to address all of the men in our church family. But we want to also cover some of the things that cause a man to have a godly character and to be a man of faith. Now, God made man in just two kinds. There's a lot of people disagree with you. I think the federal government says there's 87 kinds. I don't know what the third kind is, so let alone the 87th. But God made man mankind in two kinds. He made woman and he made man. He made the man first, then he made the woman from the man. The man was of the earth. The woman was of the man. Now, quick biology lesson. Why I say there's still only two kinds. There are occasions when people are bought, and we're addressing a social issue right now, yes, because it's part of the Bible. But it's some of the teachings of the Bible. There are times when a child is born where they're unable to determine its gender because of physical deformities. But there is an easy way to find out whether it is a man or a little girl. And that is done at the cellular level. So here's the biology lesson. If you don't remember this, you can go home and you start telling people about it, you know, your neighbors and stuff. God, when he made man, he made him with one of two chromosomes in his cellular structure. The chromosome determines, you know, what we're going to look like, what color our eyes are going to be, what color our hair is going to be. if we have any. Some of us don't. Some, or at least it's going away. Okay. So anyway, God determined that he would give man two different chromosomes. Half of man's chromosomes are X's, and half of man's chromosomes are Y's. With the woman, he gave her one chromosome, and that is always an X. So, when a man and woman come together and produce a child, if the man's X chromosome combines with the woman's X egg, then it is a little girl that is brought forth. If it is a Y chromosome that combines with the X chromosome of the woman, it's a little boy. So they can tell at the cellular level. That never changes, no matter what their mental attitudes might be, no matter what they say, that never changes. God made it that way, so there would be no misunderstandings. And now I see some of you wondering, well, what happens if you wind up with two Y's? Can't happen, okay? Because a woman has an X chromosome, and she has no Y chromosome. So it's always that way. And there's no in-between. It's one thing or another. And that's the way God intended it to be. And so, as far as the men, this morning we're going to address the men. If you're a father, this day is set aside to honor you. If you are a man, I'm directing this message to all of our men, all visitors, everybody. Now, if you're a woman, that doesn't mean you can nap, okay? No naps, because I've got some things for you too this morning. So, whether you're a man or a woman, one thing is very certain. Based upon our opening verse, he must be born again, or he cannot see the kingdom of God, kingdom of heaven. You are expected to be either to enter the kingdom of heaven the same way. If a person is not born again, man or woman, they cannot enter into heaven. That's exactly what God says. You have to be born again to even see the kingdom, let alone enter into it. So you must be born again. You have to be born physically, and you have to be born spiritually. It takes both. As we address what God expects of the man, we'll also be talking about what God also expects of the woman. The second thing that God wants from the man is worship. Worship. God has a purpose for worship. It's so that he can establish a relationship with you. That's why we worship God, is that we might establish a relationship between he and us. And that's done through worship. Prayer is a part of it, but that's done through worship. It's also that in John 9:31 it says, "Now we know that God heareth not sinners, but if any man be a worshiper of God and doeth his will," and that's being born again, "him he heareth." So if you're born again this morning and you talk to God, he hears you. But if you are not born again this morning, you can talk to God all you want, but he does not hear you. That's what this verse in John 9 says. You have to be born again. So there are a couple of qualifications that God places in establishing a relationship with him. First, man needs to be doing the will of God. which means that after a man is saved, he obeys the word. He obeys this book that we call the Bible, this book that we call the Word of God. This is actually God's word to us. He is speaking to us from this book. It isn't just a book that some man sat down and wrote. We have 66 books in the Bible and 40 some authors. And every one of them is a message from God to us. On Wednesday nights, we're studying the book of Amos. And right now, we're in the sixth chapter. We just are entering the sixth chapter of Amos. And Amos is a letter to Israel and to Judah after the kingdom of Israel divided. But Amos, when he wrote to them, he wrote about the things that are happening to us right now. The very same things that happened to Israel are happening to us. And why should we expect any different outcome than what Israel experienced? You understand the definition of insanity, do you? It's to do the same thing over and over and expect a different outcome each time. The same outcome that Israel had is the same outcome we're going to have as a nation. So, man needs to be born again. He needs to do the will of God, and that is God's will for man. And then, once he's born again, he needs to worship God. Everything we have comes from God. He either gives us the energy or the wisdom to acquire it, but it comes from him. He is the one who gives us the energy. He is the one who makes it possible for us to acquire some of the things. When a man's born again, he becomes a new creation in Jesus Christ. If the man does not become a new creation in Jesus Christ, then the man is not really saved. God is very distinct. God is not ambiguous. He seems that way to people who do not know him, who do not understand him, who have not been born again. But God is very precise. And he says, it's either this way, it's his way, or it's the world's way. His way will be successful. His way will lead to love, joy, peace, patience, goodness, gentleness, mercy, faith. And the last one that is my most difficult part is temperance, self-control. Okay. You turn me loose in a bakery and I melt down quick. You folks don't know that, and Connie's niece and her husband are with us from Greenville this morning, and they came and visited, and she exposed to them a place in our apartment. We call it Snack Island. And it's got cookies, and it's got chips, and it's got anything that you might want as a snack. So I try and avoid Snack Island. We may have to have some words after church, honey. Isn't it good that we can laugh as brothers and sisters in Christ? Because we know we're not treating each other with malice. We're treating each other with love. And this is part of the evidence of being born again. Because when a person is born again, the Holy Spirit indwells them. And a man, when he is born again, he is indwelled by the Holy Spirit, and the Holy Spirit brings certain things to us. And this is what makes a man a man. That's where a man has to begin. I titled the thing, "It's Time to Man Up." And if there's somebody here this morning who has never been saved, you've never asked Jesus Christ to take away your sin. You have never believed that God raised him from the dead. This morning be a great time to do that. And come to know the Lord Jesus Christ as your personal Savior. So anyway, when a man becomes gets born again, he becomes a new creation. He's different than he was before. And as we look in the scripture, in 1 Corinthians 4:2, it tells us that, moreover, it is required in stewards that a man be found faithful. So that's one of the characteristics that a man should have. A man should be faithful. You should be able to count on him. He should be consistent. So I believe that we'll find the answer in the book of James about what a man is supposed to be. James tells us in James 1:22, "Be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves." I think that the last four words of this short verse are very important. There are a lot of people who read the Bible. There are a lot of people who memorize the Bible. And does that make them a Christian? No. Nikita Khrushchev memorized the entire book of John. Nikita Khrushchev was one of the worst murderers Russia's ever had as a dictator, as a leader. And so that doesn't make you a Christian. It's a matter of being a doer of the word, not a hearer only. Just because you've been in church this morning does not mean you're okay with God for the rest of the day. You've got to have him in your heart. You've got to be born again. Now, as we study the world around us, there's one thing that's absolutely true. The world is living in a state of total deception. The people of the world are living in a state of total deception, and they can no longer recognize truth. Now, if you watch the news at all, you know that there's a lot of liars living north of us. A lot of liars. And they have no problem with it because we know that the devil is the father of lies. Jesus told us that. And they can do nothing but lie because they do not have in their core, in their heart, Jesus Christ. And so they wind up lying. So we are told in 2 Corinthians again, 5:17, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Folks, I can tell you that every man in this congregation this morning who has believed on the Lord Jesus Christ is not what he used to be. Praise the Lord that he isn't. Praise the Lord that God has given us a new life, a new core, a new soul inside that's alive again. If you're a new creature, you'll be faithful to the Word of God. You'll be and you will be faithful, and you will be loving, and you will be merciful, and you will be an image of Jesus Christ, and you will be actively telling others about how to achieve the same thing that you have. That is, if you're a faithful steward. If you're a faithful steward. You see, if you have been born again, you will already have manned up. The little epistle of Ephesians, in that book, God gives us the order of the man-woman relationship. Now, this is where you ladies need to listen up and don't get mad, okay? I'm not saying this. This is what God tells us, okay? So, Ephesians 5:22-24. Ephesians 5, 22 through 24. It says, "Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let wives be to their own husbands in everything." Now, that doesn't mean that the wife doesn't have an opinion, that the wife doesn't have input to the family. But it means that the ultimate decision for how the family is going to live belongs to the husband. And you sure want to be sure that he is a godly man, that he is born again, because if he's not, he's going to be doing the world's things, and you're not going to have a happy situation. So the husband needs to be born again. And when it says that the husband is he is a savior of the body, the husband's job is to defend his family, to defend his wife. And, I know there was a time we came home and from being out on the road, and as we got out of the car, this large pit bull charged my wife. Now, I'm not a wimp. I don't like pit bulls. And so I tried to get between the pit bull and my wife, and I was trying to get her in the house. That's the job of the man. That's his job. That's what he's supposed to do. That was a very smart pit bull. I had a concealed carry, and I happened to be carrying. And so I took the gun out, and that pit bull would walk up, and he'd smell the barrel, and he'd back off. Then a minute or so later, he'd growl at me, come up again, and I'd put that gun down because I was just waiting for him to make that one move, try and bite. And he would smell the end of that barrel, and he'd back off a little bit, quit growling. And finally, she called the police, and they got out there, and he did the same thing. They drew their guns, and he had a respect for guns. And they finally got him to his owner, but he'd already chewed up his owner. So it's a man's job. It's a man's job to defend the family. That is the job of the man. That's part of manning up. And since the beginning of the husband-wife relationship, a man is supposed to be head of the house and family because God told the woman, here in Ephesians, to be in total submission. Now that's what the phrase at the end of verse 24 means when it says in everything. In everything. Now, some of the ladies don't like to hear that. I had some women really rebel one time when I was teaching a class out in Texas. Tim, you wouldn't believe how mad they got at me. But I've got to teach you. I've got to preach what's here. And what is here says that the wife is to be in submission. The man is to be head of the household. Now, I want to read a somewhat lengthy passage of Scripture to you because it has an awful lot in it, and it's God speaking to us. This was particularly God speaking to Moses when Moses was leading the children of Israel out of Egypt, and he was dealing with God was dealing with them, and you find it in Deuteronomy chapter 6. Now, Deuteronomy is very much toward the front of the Bible. Genesis, Exodus, Numbers, Leviticus, Deuteronomy. It's the fifth book of the Bible. And in Deuteronomy 6, 4 through 13, listen to what God says. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thy heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. And thou shalt bind them as for a sign upon thy hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. And it shall be when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware to thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, to Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities which thou buildest not, and houses full of all good things which thou fillest not, and wells digged which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name. I want to share something with you. Years ago, the Bible used to be a textbook in school. And in 1963, they took the Bible out of school. 1967, they took prayer out of school. Supreme Court, making decisions that they had no basis to make and no legal authority to make. But they did it. Where are our children going to get God's word from if they don't get it from us, their parents? And many of us let the church and let the school do the teaching. We didn't do what God said to do right here. God said we were to talk about the Word of God all the time, so that our children would hear what he has done, so that our children would know what he could do, and so that our children would love him like we do. And we didn't do that, folks. We didn't. Now, most of us in here are grandparents. Okay, we've got a chance to make up for that. We can talk to our grandchildren and talk about the Word of God, to let them know, to let them learn who he is, how he loves them, how he loves everyone. If you're a man, God has given you the responsibility for the establishment of order in the home. And that responsibility is not given to the women. It's given to the man. He is to be the leader. Some of you women are thinking, well, where was the man when I needed him? Good question. Where was he? Well, maybe he was doing something different. God said he's to be leading the home. And so we have to, if we messed up, we have to repent. We have to talk to God about it. And we need to go back and try and fix things. As our society has progressed through history, man has abdicated his role as head of the house in many, many cases. You look around at your neighbors. You look around your neighborhoods. Look how many homes don't even have a man. And look what's happening to the kids. They're shooting each other. They're killing each other. They're doing drugs because there's no man there to lead them, to be the authority figure. And the man being the authority figure is a picture that God gave us that we can pass along to our children, so that one day they will let God be the authority in their life. That's what it's all about. What do we call him? We call him our Heavenly Father. And the man is supposed to be representative of that. So the children just naturally accept him. God didn't establish anybody but the man to do his will in the home. In this passage from Timothy, the order of the home is very clear. 1 Timothy 2:11 through 14 says, "Let the women learn in silence with all subjection, but I suffer not a woman to teach or to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. For Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in the transgression." God attributes the first sin in the world to the woman. Doesn't mean he doesn't forgive. Doesn't mean that it can't be dealt with. Repentance, seeking God's will, seeking Jesus Christ as Savior, seeking the Holy Spirit to make a person born again. But God attributes the first sin in the world to the woman. That's why God wants the man to be the head of the house. And that's our job, man. We need to be the leaders. We need to be the leaders. God's given the blame for sin to the woman, not the man, but this does not mean that the man is guiltless. Adam sinned because he wanted to please his wife. So God has put the man in charge of the home, in charge of the church, and in charge of the spiritual welfare of his family. Men, if you've got family, if you've got loved ones, you are responsible to God for their spiritual welfare. And that is not going to change. It is sin not to take that leadership. Now, I used an expression this morning as we started called man up. It's not... When a man mans up, he is not to become a dictator. No, he's not. And he is not to show malice towards the rest of his family. He's called to be like Jesus. And every one of us men need to be like Jesus. We cannot be that way if we don't start off with being born again. And... I think a good place for us to start as we start thinking about that would be the parable of the sower. Now, we don't need to read the whole parable. No, we only need to read the basic phrase that Paul shared with the Galatian church. The message from Jesus had nothing to do with the kind of seed sown. But he told his disciples what it was. It was the word of God. So Paul expands on that in Galatians 6, 7 through 10. Be not deceived. God is not mocked, for whatsoever a man soweth, that is what he's going to reap. Amen? Think about what you're sowing in your family. Think about what you need to sow in your family. Verse 9 of that passage in Galatians says, "And let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good to all men, especially to them who are the household of the faith." If we're going to be men of faith, then we'll be busy sowing the same seed that Jesus talked about. We need to have faith in order to be men of God. Jesus never doubted the power of God because he knew all that God could do. He did what God wanted him to do. Jesus entered into his ministry without sin, but we cannot do that because we all have a sin nature. And many times we subject the people around us that we love to that sin nature. So we need to make sure that we stay right with our Lord and Savior. As a man of God, we have the opportunity to glorify our Lord Jesus Christ and our Heavenly Father on this day of memorial. May we be the men that God intended. James 1, 26 and 27 says, if any man among you seem to be religious and bridleth not his tongue, but deceiveth his own heart, this man's religion is vain. Vain. Worthless. Worthless. He goes on to say, pure religion and undefiled before God and the Father is this, to visit the fatherless and widows in their affliction and to keep himself unspotted from the world. Men, we need to be faithful. May God keep us all in the center of his perfect will and out of the things of the world. Father, thank you for giving us your word. Thank you for sending your Holy Spirit to minister and to guide us. We ask, Father, that you will give us strength, that you will give us an understanding of what it is you want from each one of us. And Father, that you will give us the courage and the energy and the ability to do what you would have us to do. And Father, we will praise you because of what you are going to do in our lives and the way you're going to make it possible for us to be your men. Thank you, Father, for this time in your word. Thank you for each man who has come out this morning. May we take this word and hide it in our heart that we might be a true man of God. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.